Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's going to get punked by guys that are Zach size in the NBA.
Come on.
Dude, you are out of control.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
What did he do to you, man? He went to the wrong day in college is what he did.
But like a three-star recruit coming out of IMG, that's it.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. As good of a player he is.
And he was calling. Did you see him in the press conference after?
Dropped the F-bomb.
Dude, he's on the court, drops the F-bomb to the CBS camera. And Evan Washburn, I think it was.
He was.
Goes in the post game, calls out schools that didn't recruit him by name in Rick Barnes, who's the Tennessee coach. And then is like filmed like at a house party going into a bedroom with like
Wait. So I thought that might have been from like months ago.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it is. I thought it was an older video
that so it might have been the after party. I don't know, but that video was circulating.
Okay.
It's like, golly, you just hate. I mean, like, can you imagine college these days? Like, you're 7'4", people looking at you, and then they start videoing everything that you do, and it's like, come on,
yeah, you can't even open the door. My arms tried to open the door.
Yeah. I know. And then you see the faces behind. We're like, oh my god, Zach just took her in the
Zach is happy because his name's Zach too. So hype it up.
God, he's the love a house party, man. No rules.
But Josh, man, like you have a lot of hatred in your heart.
You do have a lot of hatred in your heart.
Just like the fullback position. You were not here, Zach, and Stoke. You were not here.
Oh.
Josh Dover hates the fullback more than anything I know. Why?
He hates the fullback. He hates Boston. He hates Minnesota. He hates Greg Popovich.
Kentucky. New England.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You ought to have some sport hate. I mean, the fullback doesn't do anything. That's why we hate the fullback. Fullback's worthless, Phil.
Tell me, man.
I'm in there, too. That's a wasted roster spot. That's what it is.
Thank you. The disrespect. Sports. You want to know why we need a fullback? Because the receivers ain't blocking down the field. Fullback is.
You know who we use as a fullback? Our backup guard.
Oh.
Our backup guard is the fullback. Yeah. Just plow in there and let us get 1 yard. Then you go sit down for 40 more plays, and then when we need you again, you plow in there and you play two plays. There you go.
Stink. Get in there.
Stink. That's right. Stink.
Get in there. Go be Andy Janovich.
Oh, man. The audacity.
What are we doing tonight, guys? Jamal, you expecting him to play? Would you play him? Where are y'all at with Jamal tonight?
God almighty. I thought he was going to play last Wednesday against Phoenix. I thought he was going to play on Friday night against Minnesota. I mean, he hasn't played since March 21st.
It would be a month if he doesn't play before the playoffs.
You know when the playoffs start, like the physical, like the date on the calendar? The 20th.
Yeah.
It's the 2nd. Wow. It's 18 days away. That's getting through the rest of the season, getting through the play-in games, and starting the playoffs. And I just...
Real quick, though, he warmed up.
He did.
Right? I mean, so that gives you encouragement. He's close, right?
Well, he warmed up before the Suns game. That was the Suns game. Because I remember he was debuting the chocolate New Balances.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
damn,
I've never seen those.
Yeah.
That looked kind of cool. But that was for the Phoenix game.
Yeah.
That was.
Well, he had to debut the shoes, Zach.
Had to debut.
Right?
Had to debut them. But if the playoffs were tonight, he'd be playing. If the playoffs were Wednesday, he'd be playing. But it's like one of these things where we've been burned by Jamal's absence. And I'll tell you what, fellas, if Jamal Murray, let's just get crazy. Let's say Jamal Murray has a setback and he's not available for the first round and Denver played the Mavericks, the Nuggets could get beat in the first round.
Mm.
And I know that sounds crazy. Is that what we're expecting? No. But wouldn't it have sounded crazy last year if you said, the reigning Stanley Cup champions, they're not making it out of the first round because they have a bad matchup and one of their dudes isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have seemed impossible. It seems impossible now, but if they match up with the Mavericks, which they can, who's playing well, Mavs have won 7 in a row, 9 of 10. They're playing really well. And we just saw them come and beat Denver on national TV just a couple weeks ago on a Sunday. Not fear mongering. I'm just saying, like, if none of this works without Jamal, none of it works without Jokic. I'll go so far as to say you're not winning a championship if you didn't have KCP.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, well, all the starters have to be playing.
Yeah, without Jamal, I mean, you can lose except the Pelicans. I look at any other team and say, you definitely could easily lose a series without Jamal in the first round against any of those teams in the West. Pelicans, but maybe even them.
Yeah.
And with Dallas, too, your point of, like, they play zero defense. But right now, Luka's turning into Luka again. He's playing the right brand of basketball. And it would be it's a race to 135.
Yeah.
And without Jamal, yeah. I don't know that the Nuggets are getting to 135.
And if the games are close, they have two bona fide closers.
Yeah. Yeah, like we saw Kyrie's left hand kill the Nuggets.
So do you think that Jamal has had a setback and that's why we're not seeing him? Do you think that something's going on?
I don't think it's necessarily a setback. It's a proceed with so much caution.
See, that's where I can't get on that train of proceeding with so much caution when you have some of your players like Jokic that's banged up. We know something's wrong with Jokic at times. His wrist is hurting, his back is tight, but yet he's out there all the time, right? Aaron Gordon doesn't look like himself at times. He's probably banged up. So, like, for us to say we're going to proceed with caution just with Jamal because of him being so hurt, there's more to this story that's being led on.
It's like, I love the quote from Mike Tomlin, right? He says, when it comes to his players, I'll treat you all fair, but not equal. Because everybody gets treated different based on who you are, what you provide. I think the Nuggets can do that. You can ask Nikola, hey, you good at 70%, right? And Nikola's like, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Hey, Jamal, you good at 70?
Right.
I don't know what the answer to that is.
But the problem is, when Jamal's not there, everyone's got to pour 5 to 8% more of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the bench. Bench right now is not playing well.
And you have a guy in the bench, a part of your starting lineup. Mm. So it's like everyone's got to pick it up a notch, and that's not natural to the original sort of just structure of the team. And that wears people out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 7 games left. I'm looking at a team on Friday night in a game that mattered a lot. Like, we can't say, oh, Phoenix doesn't matter. This is the game that matters. This is the most important. Them get their ass absolutely whooped and then say, well, that doesn't matter either.
Yeah.
Well, pick one. If you tell me none of it matters, then just shut your starters down. Have a little vacation before the playoffs. Accept being in the 3 seed or whatever it's going to be and ride that way. But it's
And what about people saying, well, oh, this happened last year. This is what happened last year, you know, towards the end of the season when we were shutting everything down, we started losing games. You know,
that did happen because they had the 1 seed locked up.
Exactly.
It's not the situation this year.
But they played. I mean, they were under 500 after the All-Star break last year because they were 10 games up of Memphis, who was the 2 seed at the time. And I think that's more of a mental grind than what they're doing now of – what the heck? We got, 20-something games that really don't matter? And now it's like, all right, we had, 27 after the All-Star break this year?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
We had 27 games that actually really did matter, and now the spot that they're in is exactly what you said, Zach. It's, we're either 1, 2, or 3, and no worse than 3 in most logical scenarios. So it's almost that, like, hey, hurry up and wait for the games to matter again.
Yeah.
And that's tough. I know for us, like, Phil, you're a pro athlete.
Yeah.
You had to deal with that of, like, it doesn't feel the same in every single game that you play. And the NBA has too many of them anyway.
Man, see, that's so the difference with football is. Football, every game matters. In the basketball, it's, like you said, so many games. You kind of pick and choose when you want to get hot. The thing with this is Malone still wants that number one spot, right? Why would you not? Because if that's the case, he would have him sitting out. He would have Jokic sitting out.
But he's also saying the press conference before and after that health is the most important.
For sure, but actions speak louder than words.
Exactly. So oftentimes, like if you're, you can't say both of those two things and have them under the same umbrella and act like there's not a conflict there. Mm. There is a conflict between those two things. And we do, everyone wants the team to be healthy and we would like them to have the number one seed. But in my opinion, one of those things is not only more important than the other, but it's becoming like abundantly clear how more important it is. When I watch those guys on Friday night look like it was their third AAU game of the day playing a team who was playing their first, it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I also keep going back to this with the Nuggets, for me at least, maybe I'm doing this too much because it's only one championship, but it is a championship of They've earned so much benefit of the doubt with me.
Sure.
Guys have said it. I've heard you talk about it on your show. Show up with a healthy starting five, and I am willing to bet my bottom dollar there is not a basketball team on this planet that can beat them four times in seven games.
Agreed.
And
agreed.
This is a question that I've asked Zach yesterday, and I want to ask you and Zach right now, okay? Last year, we were healthier, okay, and we had Bruce Brown coming off the bench. Mm. This year, we don't have Bruce Brown.
You're right.
We're trying to figure out a rotation. So is it still the same mindset for you right now? Like, the starting five, and we're still good? I know the starting five are going to still play majority of the time, but you still need that bench to show up when it matters the most.
I think that's a very real concern and something that we're not going to know until we get it in real time. But I feel good because of the role that Aaron Gordon has found himself in. He can score from time to time. What KCP has done as of late shooting the basketball has been outstanding. And I know it's dropped off a little bit. Got some real life problems going on too. But who Michael has been post All-Star break helps that as well. You're not going to get everything that Bruce did from one of those guys, but you might be able to get everything that Bruce did from all of those guys.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. All right, Josh, good stuff.
Yeah,
we'll see you tomorrow. We saw something historic last night. But to what degree? That's where we'll start coming up next. Something historic last night. To what degree? Not sure. Want to talk about it. We're off and rolling on a Tuesday. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad to be here. It's nice out. Blue skies.
Beautiful day.
It's spring. So I cannot complain. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Although I will tell you, like, one of these little instances in life where you get reminded how dependent you are on something. Something so little.
Mm.
Forgot my phone in the car. Dude, not having my phone on me. Like, if I'm upstairs in my house and I'm going downstairs, I'll bring my phone with me.
Oh, yeah.
Are you like that, too?
Oh, yeah. Phone goes everywhere.
My wife is not. Like, I'll just see it around the house. Like, oh, she's not around. But, like, doing this job and we're always exchanging messages.
Always.
And getting stuff from producers and all this stuff. It feels like I'm, like, not wearing my shirt or something. Like, yo, where's my phone? Just a reminder how dependent I am on that little freaking computer. I don't like it. I actually don't like how I feel without it, which I don't like that.
No, here's the kicker too. If you like close your eyes and just let your muscle memory go, I'm pretty sure that it could probably find the Twitter, the X, because we probably do it so much. We scroll to a couple things so much that we just get used to doing it.
Yeah.
There's times where I look, I'm like, why am I doing this right now?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
Or I'll X out of my phone or an app. Just to open it back
just
up
to go
again.
Back.
Or like I'll click off my screen and make it dark. Like, oh wait, no, I wasn't done. I gotta go. Like what? This thing, it's not healthy.
Technology, man.
It's not
Technology.
Healthy. It's not healthy. Hey, we saw something historic last night. To what degree? How much Iowa LSU did you watch? Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, excuse me.
Yeah.
Hawkeyes versus Tigers, national championship rematch.
Yeah, I watched a lot of it, almost pretty much all of it. From the start when we were in here, they're going back and forth. I was like, this is going to be a great game. This is going to be a great game. And then Angel Reese got hurt at one point, and I'm like, uh-oh. You know, something can be, you know, it was, I think, her ankle at the time.
Yeah, it was
time.
Just like, it was like a minor ankle roll.
Yeah, and then she comes back in. And I'm thinking, okay, second half, it's going to be a lot more like this. Whoever can have the basketball and make the less errors are going to win this game. And Caitlin Clark just took over.
Man. Holy moly. I mean, talk about a legendary performance.
Mm.
9 made threes. That's the most ever in a March Madness game. Ever. Like, in the history of the women's NCAA tournament, no one ever made more threes than Caitlin Clark did last night in the most pressurized situation outside of maybe that national championship game a year ago against the same opponent, same coach, same star player. And it was legendary, and it was a great game. And I'm wondering, one, how many people watched the game?
Mm.
We got the number for CU in Iowa over the weekend, the Sweet 16 game. And where did we, I guess we can talk about what our predictions were last week, because we all made predictions and KJ wrote them down. We'll get to those here in just a couple minutes, but we do have the number. And 6.9 million people tuned in to Colorado versus Iowa on Saturday. Nearly 7 million people. We're kind of using the benchmark of the World Series.
Yeah.
Didn't quite hit that,
no,
but it wasn't far away either.
No, it was a good game, man. And the views were high. And you said something before, like, they probably didn't monitor. We're probably not monitoring the peak. And if the Lady Bus would have not been getting blown out,
exactly,
the peak would have been higher.
Yes, yes. And I'm curious. That game was tied last night at halftime.
It was.
Was last night, and again, we don't know probably until tomorrow, but last night has a chance to surpass the most watched women's college basketball game of all time, which was Iowa-LSU last year.
Which was?
The national championship, LSU-Iowa, yeah. 9.9 million,
9.9.
Which was not only the highest viewed women's college basketball game in the history of ESPN, it was the highest viewed men's or women's game in the history of ESPN. So, I'm curious, did it surpass that number last night? Do you think so?
Oh, man, I was so bullish on the Lady Bus getting to 9 million, you know, and I think I was shooting for the stars with that one. With this game right here, there's a lot of superstars, a lot of drama going on, good versus a villain kind of situation going on that people wanted. So, yeah, I could see it being around 10 million viewers.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's going to flirt with the all-time record. And back in the late 70s, there was a revolutionary college basketball collision course between two stars in Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
Mm.
And I know this doesn't even seem real right now, but I'm telling you, you know how many people watched that game back in the late 70s? 40 million. To this day, it's still the most watched college basketball game of all time.
40 million people watched that game.
Indiana State, Larry Bird was undefeated. Magic Johnson, the charisma, Michigan State. And they met in the national championship game, and Magic Johnson won that game. And Michigan State, they both went to the NBA, and people followed those two as rivals for years to come.
Now, why? Why is that? Why is it that now we're not getting those? Because our TVs are better. We still have players from all around that you could watch and say, okay, this could be a rival. But that with the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson situation, 40 million is still not being overtook by somebody else is crazy.
It is. And I think that part of the reason we don't maybe see numbers like that anymore is because there's just so many options. In the late 70s, you had four or five channels to pick from, or whatever it was. I won't act like I was there. But there was a very small number of channels. And it's like, if there was something to move the needle, and you have five options, everyone's going to the one thing.
Yeah.
But I think this has a chance many, many, many years from now to be remembered as that for women, for the women's game. Now, the women's game isn't going to be, it's not as popular as the men's game was back then, so you're not going to get for it. But for what it is, for how far it's come, I think for years and years to come, we may be looking back at this Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, LSU-Iowa dynamic that kind of divides a room. There's some stuff that, like, no one really wants to talk about openly. That's, like, the dynamics. And it's
then you got the head coach from LSU being threatened.
Right.
Like, it's just a bunch of stuff going on.
Right, right. I think it's got a shot to be, for the women's game, Larry and Magic. And
I like it.
And I hope that we get to see these two at the pro level. You know,
well, they only have so Angel Reese. We all know that Caitlin Clark is getting ready to go to the WNBA. But KJ actually said something that if Angel Reese wants to go to the WNBA, she has to make a decision by Tuesday. KJ,
Tuesday night,
she has to make a decision if she wants to go to WNBA or not. If she does not make that decision, she has to come back to college.
Well, it just I think it's about I think it's about a couple things that. How much money do you want to make?
Mm.
She'll make more money at LSU with NIL than she'll make as a WNBA player.
Yeah.
Now, she'll be able to do side deals and stuff and endorsements, so maybe that'll be the same amount. And then for her, it's like, do you want, like, what else is there for her to do? SEC Player of the Year, she was the MVP of the national championship. LSU women's basketball never won a national title until last year. So she's like the GOAT in the face of that program's history. I think she's gone.
I think she's gone too. I think I would want to be gone. I would want to be the person that puts the WNBA on the map even more than it is now. Caitlin Clark's going. Why not? You know, I go just to how the Larry Bird Magic Johnson situation was.
Yeah.
Let's take it to the WNBA. Let's make something of it.
That it's got a shot, man. It's got a shot. It's got a shot. All right, we're off and rolling here on a Tuesday. What do we make of Deion Sanders' newest addition to his staff in Boulder. That's where we'll go coming up next. What do we make of Deion Sanders' newest addition to his staff in Boulder? Interesting. We kind of saw this coming, but weren't exactly sure if it was going to totally come into focus. But Deion Sanders has added 51-year-old Hall of Famer Warren Sapp.
Another one.
Another one.
Hall of Famer. It's hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, he had a brilliant, brilliant career. And he is now on Deion Sanders' staff as a graduate assistant. All right, so that was the mechanism that they used to get him on the field coaching with the team. Now, he's actually taking classes?
I can ask that. You know, if you're a grad assistant, you have to be taking classes.
Got to be taking classes.
All right.
Which is, depending on how seriously he takes it, I think that's kind of cool. Someone in their 50s going back to school, especially if it's going to be for free. What type of classes is he actually taking? I have no idea.
You know who did that with us?
Who's that?
Cordell Stewart.
Is that right?
Cordell Stewart, the year that we had that great year, right, that 2016 year, Cordell Stewart was with us working out every single day, Zach.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that.
6 o'clock in the morning, Cordell Stewart was out there running with us, pushing sleds, you know, getting in shape, but he was also taking class. We had classes together.
Is that right?
Yes. We were looking at each other's work. Probably not the smartest thing.
You guys are both in trouble. Holy moly.
Oh, no, I was just trying to help him out. I was his tutor.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, this is the Bruce Lee movie that you need to know.
You got to do a back swing kick and a side kick.
And if you don't understand the reference, in the past, Phil has said one of his courses, what was it? It was Bruce Lee?
Yeah, in the South Pacific, something like that. Something Pacific.
Something hard-hitting like that.
Yeah, my wife and I both had to class. She was mad to be in it with me.
That is too funny, man. I'm curious what type of classes he'll be taking, and I'm sure at some point someone's going to ask him. But beyond that, what do you make of this?
I like it. I when you can get Hall of Famers and people have been there and big name players to come out their shell and be a part of some tradition for us, right, which is for Colorado, it's the program, it's the tradition there. There's young kids get to see this. It just makes it and it elevates the game. Come on now, Zach. You've been reading Coach Prime's book. Elevate the game.
Yes. Yes, elevate and dominate. 21 ways
dominate
to finish last in the Pac-12.
You have a Hall of Famer sitting right in front of you, Zach. Now, although just because you're great on that football field does not mean you're a great coach.
Sure.
But you can also bring something to the table and bring some facts, some knowledge to help these young men out, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that may help them out. And they could be great as him, as great as him.
Well, that's a high bar. I mean, Warren Sapp was incredible, just incredible dude getting after the quarterback. Such a big personality. I mean, that's the other thing. Like Warren Sapp is a larger than life personality, and he actually said, "You'll hear me before you see me." I mean, he is one of a kind. And he said something last year when talking about doing this. He said, "I've never really opened the vault.
Mm.
I've never really shared my wisdom." And he said, when I was here visiting, because he was there last fall when the place was buzzing, and he said certain kids would ask me, like, "Hey, how do I do this? How did you do this?" And he was like, "I've never actually shared this stuff." Mm. And so I don't know what it's going to look like because he's never coached before. But it's got a chance to be unique for some, you know, student athletes that are going to get coached by a Hall of Famer. Will it translate to anything on game days? I don't know. The guy's never been a coach before.
Well, this is the thing, Zach. He's not the defensive coordinator. He is not an offensive coordinator. He's not dealing with the X's and O's. He's dealing with individual players working on their craft. That's something that is priceless. Just going out there, muscle memory, working on your craft, adding things to your bag of tricks, that's something that you can teach when you're a Hall of Famer, and that's what he is there for. He's there for guidance, there to teach some things that some of these young men don't know, and they can add to their repertoire, and all of a sudden, they're coming out looking better than what they were.
Yeah, and that's the goal here. And he said, quote, this is Warren Sapp, he said, "We're building mansions here. That's why I'm here, to help you build your mansion," end quote. So we'll see. Certainly the football's entire story just got a little bit more interesting with Hall of Famer Warren Sapp being in the fold. This was Dion and Sapp talking about the things that Warren Sapp likes to do.
The big fella needs activities because that's who he is. You got to keep him busy. You got to keep him busy, all right? He loves to golf.
Yes.
He loves to hunt.
Yes.
He loves to fish.
Ooh.
He loves outdoors.
I don't fly fish, but if that's what I got to do,
fly.
I'll do it.
When you fish.
I'm fly when I fish.
Okay. Yeah. But those three things. Right?
Yes, please.
So he's an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
What better place to be than Colorado if you like to be outdoors?
He's going
to
love it here.
I think so, too. My question is, if he's doing what he's supposed to do, is he going to have time to do all that? Like, if you're going back to school and you're coaching Division I football, are you going to have time to hunt and fish and do all
that
stuff?
I mean, Zach, you had time? You were never in school.
I was always in school.
You were never in school. You always had someone doing your homework for you. Someone like Seth go have somebody do his homework for him.
I would have to imagine... And this is me speculating, but it's like, hey, if I come back here and do this, like, you guys aren't going to bust my chops over the classes, right?
Oh, no, they're not going
to. Because that's going to be something if he's ineligible to coach second semester because he's not passing his class.
Dude, all right, Warren, we're going to need you to come in the office, man.
Oh, my gosh. Here's a little bit more from Warren Sapp and Dion.
Can y'all find your boy a place to stay right here? I don't mind expensive, but I need a place to stay because, you know, the Airbnb and people do not want to call me back and they won't let me set a phone number. Help me, y'all, please.
And last but not least, whenever you see him out, I want y'all to give love.
Oh, yeah, and I give love back.
The big fella needs love, too.
He's like, ha!
Oh, so does this mean that he's in a dorm?
Like, dude. What? Better keep him out of that dorm.
Oh, you hear that laugh? Yeah. I show love back. All right, Big Sam. I see you.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a show. There's a video or a movie back in the day where it's like, I love college because I get older, but the girls stay the same.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
This is what this feels like.
Yes. This got some warning signs here. He's like, okay, find me a place to live. I'm like, dude, you're 51 years old.
Big Sam's in the building, baby.
All right. We'll see how it all ages there for Warren Sapp and Deion Sanders up there. The Nuggets, Phil, have 7 games left in the season. That's it.
Wow.
And they're still not healthy. Is the spectrum of possible outcomes in the playoffs wider than we'd like to admit? I want to have that conversation coming up next.
Aren't you something to admire?
The Denver Nuggets have 7 games left in the season, and they're still not 100% healthy.
Is this, wow, man, 7?
That's it, dude. That's it.
That's crazy.
I mean, you think about this, like, and I looked this up this morning. The NBA's first round of the playoffs is 18 days away. 18 days, you guys. That's it. That's getting through the next 7 games, doing the play-in tournament. And, you know, I've been saying that, hey, you're going to get about a week off for the play-in tournament.
Yep.
It's actually 4 days. I think it's 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th of this month. And guess what happens on the 20th? First round starts. So, I mean, to say that it's getting real is an understatement when you can see the light at the end of the tunnel like that. And the team's not healthy. And we don't know how serious the Jamal thing is. Where are you at on your concerns with Jamal Murray out of 10? 10 being that's fire alarms, 1 being that you're asleep.
I'm pretty concerned. I'm going to put maybe a 7. I'm going to go with 7.
Okay.
7, not maybe. It's a 7.
Okay. I like
it. There's some things going on, Zach. All right. With the ankle, with the shin splints, but mainly I'm thinking it's the knee, right? Whether it's the swelling part and they can't get the swelling out, whether they had to do a small little procedure. And I'm just saying this because I know how things can go. And a procedure doesn't necessarily mean you go under the knife. It means that they pull liquid out of you.
Sure.
And sometimes it takes a week for you to kind of get things going.
Sure.
A PRP shot. Anything that Jamal needs to do to feel good is what they're going to do. And it may take time. And that's why we're seeing them drag this along and why Jamal's not playing.
At what point does your 7 go to an 8? Like, if he doesn't play again tonight, or does it stay at 7? is it, I think the game after this is Thursday against the Clippers on the road. Like, do we want to see Jamal again here in the regular season? And then with that, it's like, is there going to be rust when the playoffs start? Like, because it's such short time left, it's, I'm not at a 7, okay. But I'll say I'm at a 5.7.
Okay, so tell me this. Why are you at a 5.7? Jamal has been hurt majority of this year, from a hamstring to the ankle to the shin splints to the knee. Okay, has missed some games where he's been in the game for a while and been taken out. Why are you so confident with a 5.7?
Well, because I hope, and I don't know this, I'm speculating. I hope a lot of this is precautionary. I do think when you see a guy go through warm-ups, you're like, okay, you know, he could really go if necessary. But it's also the history. I'm actually not being personal at all, but I do have the past in my memory.
Yeah.
Dude, we waited 2 full years for Jamal to get healthy. 2 seasons.
And MPJ.
Yeah. And MPJ missed one of those entire seasons when Jamal wasn't around. So that is in the back of my head. It's like, it's not just the here and now. It's about what me as a fan, them as a team, Nuggets Nation has been through with Jamal.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, the prospects of repeating are so real. We agree. If this team is healthy, they are going to go win an NBA championship.
Yeah.
But if they're not, they're one of these teams who doesn't have a shot if they're missing. And most teams are like this. Let's be honest. You're not going to miss your second best player and still go win. It's because the time is so short and the path is going to be much tougher this year. It's like, man, I'm between a 5 and a 6. I'm between a 5 and a 6, and we round up, right? If it's 5.6,
or
5.7, go to a 6. That's just where I'm at, and I'm hoping that all goes away here within the next, I don't know, 24 hours.
Well, here's the case, right? If Malone would come out and say, hey, we are doing this, we're holding him back, I'd feel better. But Malone's not saying that.
He's not.
He's saying he's not quite there yet. He's not quite ready. Well, why not? He didn't tear anything.
No.
You know, we didn't even know he aggravated his knee. We thought it was an ankle.
Right, right. And what did that? Like, typically someone just doesn't wake up and have this.
Well, Chris Bryant did.
Yeah, that's true.
He did. He hurt himself sleeping.
He did.
What was that man doing?
Who said this earlier in the season, too? Basketball player, he was sleeping on a air mattress. Mm. Oh, my God. I just read this. It was DeAndre Ayton. This past week, he said, I had such a slow start to the year. I was sleeping on an air mattress. I didn't have my stuff together. He got moved.
Okay,
And it's like, wow, this guy's crucial. Making $100 million sleeping on an air mattress. Now he's not. But with this situation, the spectrum of outcomes. So we know and we agree that if they're fully healthy, they could go win the championship. But if they're not, to think this team couldn't have problems in the first round, I think is too naive, especially if you match up with a team like the Dallas Mavericks.
You've been talking about Dallas Mavericks, Zach.
They
elaborate a little bit for our listeners, because I'm on the same page as you.
Well, it's one of these things where they're playing really, really well right now. Really well. They've won 9 of their last 10. They've won 7 in a row. We just saw them up close and personal on a Sunday on ABC. And if you look at the standings, you don't need some crazy concoction for Nuggets to be the 3 seed, Mavs to be the 6 seed, and you could be playing them in the first round. And if Jamal Murray's not there, man, and I know it sounds crazy, and let's just say Jamal's there, but he has a setback and he misses a game. Say something happens to Aaron. I mean, anything like that. And if you're playing a team like Dallas in the first round, I know it seems unlikely, but so did the Avalanche losing in the first round the year after they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But they had a rough matchup against stylistically a team that's going to lean on them and missing one of their 5 best players. And that's what the Denver Nuggets could be facing. And I'm not here to be like spreading fear or anything like that. I want the whole picture here in the frame. And so, best case scenario, Nuggets are healthy. Go win a championship. Worst case scenario, you're missing one of your dudes and you have a team like Dallas in the first round, and we're stressing whether the Nuggets are going to advance to the second round.
Well, if people are upset because you're saying this or talking about this, then I would like to know what they're thinking. Like, do we have a chance with Jamal Murray not being in the playoffs? Do we have a chance to win a series?
There's no way, Phil. A series, yes. Winning two series.
But depending on who we're playing.
Yeah, depending on the matchup. And right now, we don't know. Like, Dallas is a half game separated from the seventh seed to the sixth seed with seven games left. So that can change. And if Denver's going to rest guys, they could go from the two seed to the three seed tomorrow. I mean, that's where we're at. So, because it's so tight. And we have so few games left. But you're talking about a half seed or a half game difference between being the second seed or the third seed, the second seed from the first seed. So again, it's just acknowledging where we're at. I don't think anyone who follows this team as closely as we do thought that Jamal Murray would be missing this much time when he missed his first game the third week of March. For and sure. Here we are. We're in the first week of April, 18 days away from the playoffs starting. It's like, oh. So, do you think he plays tonight?
No. I think that there's something up with Jamal Murray that we don't know, all right? And maybe he needs some time. But he is not going to play tonight, nor is he going to play the next game.
Oh.
I'm putting it out there right now. Jamal Murray may not play the next game. Now, me personally, if he is able to play, this would be the game to put him in there, get his feet wet, put some minutes on him. But he's going against a Spurs team that's down and out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So why would you not want to play versus, you could say it in two ways. Well, it's an easy game, so we're going to rest him there. I'm thinking more so if you've been resting, okay, this game should be an easier game for you to get involved, make some cuts,
okay,
couple jumps.
Okay, so
but
you're
not going to play a lot, but you're going to get in there and kind of get acclimated with everything again.
Yes.
I would use this game for this if he's healthy enough.
That's interesting because there's two ways to look at this game tonight against the Spurs, who are 18-57. What is the RamosLaw.com text line saying, fellas?
All right, guys, for the 720, he says the Timberwolves have been winning it without an all-star, and they're talking about Karl Anthony Towns. Why wouldn't the Nuggets be able to win without Jamal?
Because, and this is the straightforward answer,
yep.
The Denver Nuggets do not have someone coming off their bench like Bruce Brown a year ago and like Naz Reid for the Timberwolves.
And the defense.
And the defense. Naz Reid is like a potential like sixth man of the year type of candidate. And I'm not saying like quite literally because I don't know what the odds are. And he's now in a starting role, so it's irrelevant. But he is a guy that has stepped into a starting role. Think about this. Is anyone on the Denver Nuggets bench stepping into a starting role and averaging 18 points a game and shooting 40% from three? No. It's a personnel issue.
Maybe one game.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Christian Brown's going to be that guy. Maybe Peyton Watson.
Yeah, for a game.
Yeah. But consistently, not going to happen. The defense that the Timberwolves play, phenomenal. Okay, on top of that, we've seen what it looks like when Jamal Murray's not in the game. Last what is it? Last week?
Yeah.
Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's these are big boy topics. All right, we put our big boy pants on and have them. But with seven games left in the year, not an ideal situation from even where we stood 3 weeks ago. Looking at the group and how to operate moving forward, we'll see. Jamal is questionable tonight, so I'm sure we'll get an update while we're on the air here, leading up to game time, and we'll pass that along to our listeners as soon as we get it. All right, let's talk about later this week. Man, oh man, join us this Friday for our home opener party.
Uh-oh.
Live from the rooftop at El Patio, Denver, right across from Coors Field. All right. Stoke and Josh are going to walk you up to first pitch, and then we'll rock with you all the way home from 2 to 6 p.m. If you're going to go down to the game, you have to come up and say hello to us on the rooftop at El Patio Denver on Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. All right, shifting gears here. The Broncos are at a fork in the road with the most important position on the team. What would expectations look like with each path? And we'll talk about that coming up next.